Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. The full heat of summer is upon us. Most of us reach for a cold beer or a cold cider if we want something alcoholic in such temperatures.
But Lake Effect's regular wine contributor, Ray Pfister, says don't ignore the fruits of the grape. He joins me in the studio now. Hi, Ray.
Bonnie, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? You got back last month from Napa. We've talked the last couple of times about how Napa's recovering from the fires. How are they recovering? How are things?
They're doing good. They're doing better. They still need to do a little bit better. It comes down to, you know, the first line, of course, is the wineries themselves, and they're doing good. They've recovered quite well. But the biggest thing is the everyday people, the chauffeurs, the people who work at hotels, the maids who turn over the beds. You know, these are people who suffered after the fires when tourism dropped. These people couldn't work. And especially because a lot of the hotels acted as sanctuaries for all the people who lost their homes or simply had to leave the areas. So, yes, it's coming back quite a bit. There's an amazing amount of rebuilding being done in the areas, especially up in Sonoma. So a lot is being done, but it's going to still take a little bit more time. I guess the big thing for people to understand is it's all still there, you know?
So is it still difficult to get people to come? I mean, people are still thinking, oh, it's a burned out hulk and I just don't want to go.
Yeah, no, it's nothing like that. Absolutely not. No, when I was there for auction sold out very quickly and it did very well. Record numbers, $13.6 million, which is ridiculous. Some of the auction lots were just through the moon. And I think that was the effort of people who love the valley wanting to help out. And these are people, of course, who have the wherewithal to do it, to bid high, bid often. And they did. And they did very well. And again, I always like to make sure people understand that Auction Napa Valley benefits local charities, boys club, girls club, hospitals, hospice, and especially living quarters for workers, as well as medical aid for people who work there. So it's a big deal what they do. And I think a lot of people just kind of got the spirit because of what had happened and bid very well.
What about the quality of the wine? We've talked about that, too. Was there any fear or has there been any evidence of smoke taint?
There's a great fear of it. There's not as much research on it as people might think because this is somewhat of an unprecedented fire. There's research being done with a lot of winemakers had donated their wine to UC Davis, which is the main university that does work with winemakers, and they're examining it. So there's no real word yet that I'm aware of. Most of the winemakers are making their own determinations, and since most winemakers had about 85 to 95% of their grapes picked already. They're pretty safe. So I think there's not going to be any problem. If you buy a bottle of wine, this vintage, which was in 2017, and if you taste something you don't like it, take it back to your beverage store. They will let you do something else. Wineries are very good about replacing wine for people.
So don't worry about it.
I wouldn't.
And this is a perfect time to talk about buying wines for the summer because we're in the middle of the summer. It is a perfect time for my favorite, sparkling, as well as rosés and whites. I tend to think of summer as those kinds of wines. Is that true for you as well?
Totally. Rosés are monsters. I am a hardcore red drinker. I'm a Cabernet drinker, and I like all reds anyway.
You like those butch wines.
I do. I like the tough wines, but I got to tell you, man, I'm just roséing it for the last month because here in Wisconsin, it's been hot. And I love the differences in rosés. You've got people that are making it from Pinot Noir. You got people making it from Merlot, from all kinds of different grapes. And it's fascinating to try the difference between these because it's not so depth-ridden as typical reds. And the bottom line, it's chilly. The alcohol's not so high. It just goes down real good. Great with pizza.
And I also love rosé sparkling.
Yeah,
it's just different from a white champagne or a white sparkling wine. There's just an added, I don't know if it's a depth is the right word, but there's something else that a rosé sparkling gives you.
It's a great palate cleanser. Above all else, when I have guests over, I love to start with a sparkling or a champagne, but more often than not, I'll have like a rosé brut. People are often surprised, like, oh, what is this I'm drinking? It's like, it's just a plain old brut. It's a simple, lighter red sparkling wine. Again, it's the idea of being open-minded. To me, the more I drink, the more I learn, the more I like. You know, and unfortunately, the more I spend. But, you know, that's
yeah.
How it goes.
Well, spending is a crucial thing here because we are in Milwaukee and people like to save money. I think frugality is sort of the watchword of Wisconsin in general. So what are some of the ways you can save money buying wine but still have good wine?
That's really a great question. Be a smart shopper. Number one, get involved with some of these groups online. There's a number of companies out there that buy collections and resell them, sometimes at very good discount prices. And people will always ask me, is there something wrong with it? Now, I'm going to be a bad guy. I'm going to go back to when I used to work at a record store when I was young. We used to have cutout records with the holes punched in them, and people would come up the counter and they'd hand it to me and they'd look at me, is this defective? And I'd look at them and I'd go, yes. We can't sell defective records. It's not defective. It's a good deal. The same things go for these wines. These are people selling. I saw some Behringers being sold out, Rocchioli, half price. Over the course of this year, my eyes bug out. I don't buy the regular price wines anymore. So I seek these deals out at different wine stores. And I also compare to what I see the prices online. If you join wine clubs from whether it be California or other states, you can get as much as 30% off when you buy wine from them. And I'm not talking a case. I'm talking a bottle. It's just a matter of being a good shopper and knowing you can get deals, looking.
Well, one of the things that I would prefer, like going to a local store, A, it's a local store,
sure.
But also I'm sure you can also taste it. If you don't know the wine and you don't know if you're going to like it or not, I'm a big internet shopper. I love the convenience of it. But when it comes to things like wines, unless I know what I'm buying, I'm a little leery because I want to be able to taste it.
Sure. Well, as you know, in a store like I was just talking about, no, they're not going to crack it for you. But they do have specials on it from time to time, and they might occasionally have people pouring it. But in the end, if you buy it and if it's corked, if it's bad, you can take it back and they'll replace it for you in one fashion or another. If you don't like it, well, you know, let the buyer beware. I like the adventure. I really do. And honest to gosh, rarely have I been skunked, whether on good discount wines. I'll give you another example. A friend of mine lives in Napa Valley. There's this discount grocery store around the corner from where he lives. They're selling wines cheap. These are wines I never heard of from all over the world. And there was this one white. He had poured it at his house for me, and I don't even remember what kind of wine it was. I never heard of it. It was Spanish. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. He goes, yeah, it's $5.
Yeah.
I brought back six bottles. It was fabulous. So be open-minded. Be willing to spend a couple of bucks. 9 times out of 10, you're going to be pleased.
Yeah, and make friends with your local wine shops.
Yeah, because they're going to be the ones who give you the advice. They're going to go, hey, you know, that's okay, but I got this guy over here for
you. This is even better.
Yeah, because you'll keep coming back, and they love that.
Right.
They're not trying to, you know, stick you for more money. They want you to keep coming back.
Like any business.
Exactly.
So, well, what's next on your adventure scale? What's happening?
Well, I'm off to England. And
not really wine country there.
Boy, they consume a lot of it
they
there,
do.
Don't they?
Yes, they do.
I'll be in Scotland and in England, and I'm still trying to set up one interview in England for a gentleman who was living in Napa who makes sparkling wine. I don't know enough about it to talk about it right now, so I'm waiting to hear back from him, and I'm hoping he agrees to meet with me. And then probably back to Napa just before harvest. It's hard for me to go during harvest because winemakers are always pretty well tied up. But to anybody who wants to visit Napa, Sonoma, harvest is such a great time because you're driving through the valley and grape is in the air. The smell, it's unreal. It's a totally different place that time of year. And
talk about bouquet, beautiful. Right?
Oh, man. It's great. Yeah.
Well, Ray Fisser, safe travels, and we will talk all about England when you get back.
Great. Thank you. Cheers.
Ray Fisser is the co-creator and the voice of the wine blog and podcast Life Between the Vines. Fisser is also the owner and engineer of Fifth Floor Recording Company, and he's our regular wine contributor. You can listen back to all of our segments with Ray at WUWM.com.